press the record button real quick. And so I would like to coach one of you and focus on something longer term that you would like that maybe affects different areas. And then we'll do like 40 minutes of coaching. And then we can discuss, like, so we're probably not going to be able to go through the entire KPI process, but at least you'll get an idea of how that works and what we do. So, who of you would like to be coached?
It's about a long-term project.
Yeah, something that you want long-term that would be a coaching program that you would like to focus on.
Yes, I have one.
Okay. So what do you have?
It's about growing as an artist.
Okay, and, growing as an artist.
And making small business in the end with selling what I do.
Okay, that sounds good. And you could use some coaching around that.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So let's do that. Helga, I'm going to mute you.
Okay.
And Holly is already muted. I'm recording, just double checking. So what we're going to do is I'm going to set the timer for 40 minutes. And so then what we'll do is it's not a regular coaching session. This is the way I'm showing you the way that I prepare for a coaching program. And so a lot of the time I go like an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, and then my client will still do some refining on the KPIs. So we'll get a start, and then afterwards you'll be able to ask me questions to see, okay, what specifically did I do, what is on maybe something unclear. So, but let's go ahead and get started. Also, because we, you know, all of you are meta coaches, I'm not going to really set any frames right now in the beginning, just so that we can make the most out of the 40 minutes. So, Christian, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, Christian, what you mentioned is that you want to... I'm not entirely sure how you said it, but develop yourself as an artist so that you can
yes.
make a small business out of that. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit about developing yourself as an artist and making small business.
Well, just now I am at the turning point. I worked a lot my drawing skills.
Okay.
And now I'm in a composition class.
Okay.
And I want to be able to create my own, I don't know how to say in English, it's oeuvre in French, my own pictures, my own
yeah.
style.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And sell them so that can... I'd say pay me the trips when I am going to draw. So
okay.
Just small things. It's just rather small, but I'm at a point where I have the skills.
Okay.
But now I need go further.
Okay. Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that... you are at a turning point right now. You've done a lot of the training and workshops, and what you want to do is create your own style, create your
mm-hmm.
own pictures so that you can sell them and that's important to you because that will then allow you to pay for the trips
yes.
when you're going to draw. And
it's my target about money, yes, to pay my trips when I'm going to draw.
Okay. And you mentioned also that you're at a point where you have the skills and now you need to take it further.
Yes.
Okay. And so in order to take it further and in the work that we will be doing together, what is it that you need to get out of our coaching together so that you can take it further and develop yourself as an artist?
So just now there are a few things where I am not quite clear, which is how to find my style.
Okay.
Which is how to dare sell my pictures. I was offered money for some pictures when I made the exhibitions, so
okay.
I know some people are ready to pay something for that, but I did not dare leave them, which is it's a problem.
Oh, okay.
And the last, it's about selling myself as an artist, going to places where there are exhibitions,
mm-hmm.
where they are. I don't know, maybe restaurants, maybe bars where I can put my pictures and let them for sale. It would be a few steps that I thought about just now.
Okay. So this is a few things that you're not clear about.
Mm-hmm.
How to find your own style, how to dare sell your pictures, and selling yourself as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the steps that you have thought about right now. There might be some other steps as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me, let's break it down and work through this. In terms of like how to find my style and how to dare sell your products and selling yourself as an artist, which one would you like to explore first?
It's how to find my style, which is really the first step where
okay.
I am struggling a lot just now.
Okay. How to find my style. And right now you say that you're in a state of struggle.
Yes.
With regards to that. So
well,
tell me about that.
So the main struggle is about I have a sensation to copy others and I'm feeling that it's not really my work. It's something I copy, methods are copied, so that does pretty cute results, but it does not look like something specific enough to be sold as my art. It can be sold as generic art, probably.
Okay.
It's something great on a wall in a living room or in a room I don't know in an office.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to find something which is my style, different from others.
Okay. And right now you feel that you are copying methods and others.
Yes.
And so it's more generic. And what
mm-hmm.
you want is to find your own style that is different from others, and you don't know how to do that.
Yes.
Okay. Why is it important for you to find your own style?
Well, first, it's a personal satisfaction.
Okay.
And second, it's about selling them. If I don't want to sell them for 10 euros, it has to be specific enough so people recognize that it's not something usual.
Okay. And so it's personal satisfaction, and then it's also about selling them. And what your understanding is about selling your products is that they need to be specific enough so that people recognize it as something not usual.
Yes.
Okay. And so why is that important for you, that sense of personal satisfaction that you get from that and being able to have something that is not usual so that you can sell it?
What's important in that is that I'm feeling like I'm creating something with a difference that I'm just making something.
Okay.
I don't know if it's...
So that's the difference between creating something and just making something.
Yes.
Okay. And and what's important about that difference to you?
I'm under the presupposition that when I create something, it's more a contribution to beauty, let's say the word, and more something that makes me grow.
Okay. And that's important to you, beauty and growth?
Yes.
Okay. So if you could have that, Christian, that sense of personal satisfaction that you are creating something, a contribution to beauty, so that it helps make you grow. If you could have that, that would be important to you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And
that would probably affect other context of my life.
Okay. In what way will that affect it?
Because contributing is something very important to me.
Okay.
Contributed to others, to the world, to beauty, to it's something very strong for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, so you feel that if you're able to find your own style, that then you will be able to contribute to others and to the world.
Yes.
Okay. So it sounds like this is really important to you.
Oh, I'm looking for that for quite a few years now.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take a closer look at this so that we can help you figure out your own style.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned right now you have the sensation that you are copying others.
Yes.
How do you know that you are copying others?
Because I often compare to them as a standard.
Okay. How do you compare to them as a standard? Like, is that while you were painting? Is that?
No, it's when I've done. While I'm painting, I'm just in the flow.
Okay.
And it's when it's done, or maybe when I make a break at some steps, I tend to compare with what the teachers told me.
Okay.
And that's how I think I'm copying. So I try to make something that look like what they do.
Okay.
And in fact, I like what they do. I admire them.
Yeah.
It looks like it's not my style.
Okay. Okay, so tell me a little bit about that. So it happens not while you're painting, because while you're painting, you're in the flow, but it's mm-hmm. maybe when you take a break from the painting or afterwards, that's when you compare with what the teachers told you.
Yes.
Okay.
And what I see from what they do.
Okay, so how do you do that comparing? So let's talk about like taking a break or when you're ready with a painting.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Do you look at what do you see? What do you hear?
Well, I look at the picture and it looks like I say, am I correct with what I have been taught? And
okay.
I make a kind of balance between my paintings and my teacher's paintings.
Okay.
Which are drawings, actually. I'm a drawer more than a painter.
Okay. So what do you mean specifically with making a balance?
Well, I put on the left side my painting and on the right side some remembered painting of my teachers.
Okay. Okay. So you're using your memory
mm-hmm.
in this case to to compare what you're creating to a remembered painting or a remembered drawing.
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like, did I do correctly according to what I've been taught?
Okay.
To the method they use, because they are very procedural in their approach.
Okay. And so that sounds like what you are doing in this process is external referencing. Is that your
yep.
external referencing and also using your memory and comparing that. And what I'm hearing you say what you want is creating.
Yes. And to create, yeah, I cannot be an external reference.
Okay. So as you hear yourself say that, what do you now realize?
That I need to, in the context of drawing, be internal referenced.
Okay.
And probably accepting that being different is not being less. Looks like that when I'm not comparing to my teachers, I did not do well. So I can do well from my criterias, and it will not look like anyone else's piece of art.
Okay. So there's a couple of things that I've heard you say, Christian. One is the internal referencing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the context of when you're drawing, what will help you with finding your own style is internal referencing.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting that being different is not being less.
Yes.
And also that I'm also hearing a frame, I can do well from my own criteria and create from that.
Yes, it's something I can say. I just cannot feel it for the moment.
Okay. So you can say that but not feel that. And is that something that we need to be working on, that you can feel this?
Yes, yes. My criteria about something right or wrong is a sensation.
Okay.
It's just for now, it is often that. I'm not quite sure that for art, it's the appropriate thing, but it's how I function usually.
Okay. Tell me, I need a little bit more information to understand that. So are you saying that usually what's right and what's wrong, that's a sensation for you?
Yes, most of the time.
So you know how to do internal referencing?
So I know what meets my criteria.
Okay.
I'm not sure doing that is being internal reference.
Okay. Okay, so you know what meets your criteria,
mm-hmm.
but you're not sure if that means internal reference.
Yeah.
What does internal referencing mean to you?
It means that I have my own checking that something is right or wrong or on a scale, it does not matter. But my own checking and not comparing to anything outside of myself, I would say.
Okay. I'm sorry for the coughing. I have a bit of a cold.
Yeah.
So let's, for the moment, Christian, imagine that you are painting or drawing and or taking a break, and you are looking at your drawing and what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and you go inside, you do your own checking on whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you check inside of yourself whether something is right or wrong?
There are two places, one over my sternum,
okay,
and the other place below my belly button.
Okay, so your sternum and below your belly button. That's where you check. You have your own internal checking whether something is right or wrong.
Yes.
Okay. So when was something small and simple where you checked and you used this feeling of referencing?
I didn't understand the question. Where was simple?
When did you have something small, something simple, that where you used this, you know, this feeling, this sensation, at your sternum and underneath your belly button? That's that feeling of checking whether something is right and or wrong. When did you have that?
Well, in the context of art, it was the last time I framed one of my drawings.
Okay.
So I felt it was good enough to be framed and to be shown.
Okay. So I'd like you to go back to that moment and feel that experience. You decided inside yourself, this is good enough to be shown.
So it's first under my belly button, second my sternum.
Okay. Okay, and what do you say to yourself?
It's not bad.
Okay, it's not bad.
And it's worth, what do I say to myself?
Yeah.
I won't show it. It would be something like this. I won't show it.
Okay. You want to show it?
And in fact, I wanted to show it, that one, yes.
Okay.
To...
Yeah. Okay, so I want to show it. And so notice, because you mentioned you're not comparing. So if you're not comparing, what are you doing?
It looks like I'm anticipating that people will like what I did, but it's still an external reference, I would
right.
say.
So there's still the external reference.
Yeah. Well, I am a lot external reference. It's part of my growth to, in many contexts about that. I don't know just yet.
And
now.
let's go to something where you have felt that sensation and completely on your own criteria.
Yes, I have one when I do some gesture drawing. So it's not to show to anyone, it's just for myself. And when I see my drawing book, what I made a lot, something like in a 1 minute, 2 minute pose, and when I like what I did.
Okay. And how do you know that you're internally referencing in that moment?
When I'm feeling I caught the action of the pose.
Okay. So how do you do that? You see the...
No, it's something that I... No, it's a bit strange to say, but...
That's okay.
It's like my body is taking the pose. And so seeing the pose makes a sensation into my body.
Okay, so seeing the pose makes a sensation in your body as if you're doing the pose?
Yes, and it's a great way to make gesture drawing, to feel it. And,
okay.
It's totally my own sensations.
Okay, and so how do you know that they're your own sensations? Where do you feel that? Oh, I think we've lost Christian for a moment. Christian, you dropped out for a little bit. Okay, let's hope Christian comes back soon.
Okay, since I'm back.
There you are.
Okay,
very
okay.
good. I thought I was keeping a really long silence. Are you there, Christian? Christian, we are unable to hear you. We can only hear static.
Seems back.
Now I think you're back, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a message saying it's going in and out.
Okay.
But it looks stable now.
Yes, very good. So you mentioned, just to bring it back, you mentioned about like that it's your own sensation.
Yes.
And
really in my body, yes.
Yeah. And so what happens is that you see the gesture and then you feel it in your own body and there's a sense of ownership of that feeling. Okay, I think we lost Christian again. Hi, Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it seems to be just you. So that's
maybe
okay.
Maybe close downloading things. Maybe it will speed the connection. Okay,
yeah.
Let's try.
Yeah.
You hear me correctly?
Yes,
now?
I can hear you.
Okay.
And so you mentioned that when you see the gesture,
mm-hmm.
Then you feel the gesture in your body as if you are doing it.
Yes.
And there's a sense of ownership, like these are my sensations.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that for you is internal referencing?
Well, just for now, I would say yes.
Okay. Just for now?
Yes, because I'm not really used to have internal references, so it's a bit complicated for me. Something totally new I'm just discovered as you ask question.
Okay, very good. So for now, this for you and the sense of ownership seems to be part of it. These are my sensations.
Mm-hmm.
And is that feeling still at your sternum and below your belly button?
Yeah, much stronger.
Okay, much stronger. Okay, very good. And so, Christian, I'm just curious, if you have this, so let's imagine for a moment having this while you do a drawing that you eventually want to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing this. You have this sense of...
Yeah, some sense of it's mine.
It's mine.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And it gives me the sensation I can share, so I can sell.
Okay, I can share. And how about doing your own style?
Well, I'm realizing now that my own style is not something visual. It's something I'm feeling like... My body is feeling the action that's happening, the story that's happening in the drawing.
Okay. That sounds like an important realization, Christian, that it's
yes.
not something visual, it's something that you're feeling.
Yeah. Visual is the input, but the output is a sensation.
Okay.
And the sensation to feel what's happening, to be in the story. Each drawing has to be a story of anything. And the viewer must understand the story.
Okay.
And it looks like when I feel that story, I'm ready to share it and to sell it.
Okay. Wow. That's quite an insight.
Yes.
And high five.
It will probably simplify most of my drawing life.
How cool.
Because I'm discovering two things. First, I can tell a story, which was part of my struggling. And second, I know I did when I have that sensation. These are two insights, in fact.
Mm. So you have, one, I can tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I didn't hear the second one fully.
The second one is I tell that story when I have that sensation. So I know how to say there is a story. And it's
okay.
Not something copied.
Okay.
Copied.
So that sensation is important for you when you are drawing.
Just for now, it looks like the only way I have discovered yet to be in internal reference.
Okay. Yeah, and so it's that combination of having that sensation of the story, owning that sensation. It's mine.
Yes.
So that you can then tell that story.
Yes.
Okay.
And
so
I can share it with others.
Okay. So that sounds like you've found the strategy for you to be able to have your own style.
Probably the beginning, yes.
The beginning, yeah. So if that's the beginning, what would be the next step?
The next step would be to take some previous drawings and check how I am feeling about them, you know, in just putting aside the comparison to others. It would be the first step.
Okay.
The second step would be to begin to imagine a story and then draw it.
And do you know how to imagine something?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's part of my problem with a composition class, which is it's about tell a story about three people saying something about something else, someone else. And it's complicated for me.
Okay. So that is something that we need to be working on as well, is imagining a story. So the process of imagining.
Yes. And
okay.
Translating into visual.
Okay. Okay, so so what we have so far in terms of how to find your own style right now, or where you have been, is struggling because you've been copying others. And so you're copying a method of others by comparing to what you've learned, to what has been taught to you, and so you're very externally referenced. And you mentioned that that's actually something that you do a lot, the external referencing.
Yes, in many contexts.
In many contexts. And it's important for you to find your own style, because it'll allow you to contribute to beauty and to the world and to others. And it also helps make you grow.
Yes.
And in order to get from where you're at, where you're at right now to where you want to be, you need to kind of expand from external referencing to internal referencing. So we need to work on that. We also need to work on feeling that sensation, being able to feel that sensation of the story in your body so that you can share it. And then also imagining, the process of imagining the story.
Yes.
So it sounds like those are three things that we need to work on. So if you have those, Christian, if you are able to have external reference, internal referencing, you're able to feel the sensation while you are drawing or while you are working on painting, you're able to feel the story, to have that sensation and own it, and imagining a story, will that help you create your own style, and will that help you create?
Yes, that would allow me to follow my instinct and not to self-criticize when I make something.
Okay.
And maybe it will not be something looking like others, maybe something perfect, but it's a sensation that I can keep the move, I can the lines mean something, even if it's only for me. It gives more meaning to the drawing and to the act of drawing.
Okay. And I'm hearing you say you won't self-criticize. And earlier, you also mentioned that as you're doing internal referencing, that you're accepting that being different is not being less.
Yes.
So it sounds like, is that part of self-criticizing?
Yes.
Okay. And so so is that also, how does that relate to external referencing?
Well, that probably relates to many people. It took me 40 years to admit I can draw things and make nice things. And all this time, when I've tried, I've listened to other people. And that discouraged me a lot.
Okay.
And I stopped discouraging when I just decided I'm not going to make on my own. I'm going to take one workshop and see what's happening. I went in another town where no one knew me, and then no one saw what I did. And I was quite surprised by the result. So that was the movement where I stopped. I had less external reference.
Oh, okay.
But it's still remaining.
It's still remaining. So you're doing external referencing, and then am I understanding you correctly that you do external referencing, and then on top of that, as you compare, you self-criticize because you are, quote unquote, less than?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Being kind with myself is a axis of growing too.
Okay. So that sounds like another step that we need to work on. Being kind to yourself. In conjunction with internal referencing.
That would probably help a lot, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So if you are able to imagine a story, feel that sensation of the story into your body, own that sensation, and on top of that, you're kind to yourself, what does that open up to you in terms of finding your style?
Well, I think in all that sentence, it is finding my style.
Okay.
It would be doing my style.
Okay.
What you described.
Okay, so that would be doing your style. So those are the four things that we need to work on: is kind to yourself, being able to imagine a story, feeling that sensation in your body and owning it, and then internally referencing as you are. Checking the quality of the picture.
Well, I have no idea how it would look like visually, but okay. I would call that my style.
Yes. So we still, that's something that's going to be created out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So we have just a few minutes left, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you have no idea what that would look like.
Yes.
But you have a feeling that that as we do this, that this would be doing your style.
Yes.
Okay. And so what I'm getting is that you're more kinesthetically oriented than visually oriented. Is that correct?
It depends on the context, but most of the time, yes. My ending validation is kinesthetic.
Okay. So is that how you're going to test whether you have found your own style?
Well, what say just making me thinking that maybe I should add a visual validation.
Okay.
In my criteria, maybe it's more about that and open the way to validate that something is good, wrong, right, beautiful or something.
Okay.
I think I would prefer to extend my ability to have visual validation than just use more the sensation validation.
Okay, very good. And is that part of being able to imagine a story, or is that a separate step?
Oh. No, it's part of imagining a story.
Okay. So when we work on that, that's what we will explore as well. It's mm-hmm. That's all part of imagining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Very good. And then, so then at the end, how you will know that you found your own style is if you're able to do internal referencing, feel that sensation, mm-hmm. Imagine a story, feel it in your body,
mm-hmm.
and own that sensation,
mm-hmm.
Validate it for yourself, yeah. Both visually and kinesthetically, is that correct?
Yes, and see it right too. It's not. It has to be something visual too.
Okay.
It will increase the internal reference, I believe.
Okay, so that would see it as well, and then mm-hmm. Being kind to yourself.
Yes. Okay. Which is a step in itself.
Yeah. So if you're able to do all this, then you are doing your style.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So this is so the time is up right now.
Mm-hmm.
in terms of finding your style, what is now your next step? What are you now going to do?
I will jump on the recording and take a few notes and and apply them to what I'm working on. You expanded many things that I was summarizing in finding my own style, and I discovered that it was a bit more complicated than just finding or not finding.
Okay, very good.
There are many parameters that were operating behind my mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You've had some really powerful insights.
Yes.
Very good. High five.
Yes,
well done.
And, it's more than insight. It's really learnings. It's. Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And since we are already working on coaching, we could incorporate this as well.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, so we'll incorporate this. Okay, so let's open the mic of Helga and Holly. Helga or Holly, any questions or insights? What did you learn from this process?
Well, I learned that there's lots of testing, checking, getting the strategy processes. When you went over there and tested his example of being able to be externally referenced, and then you found out what he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Just lots of moving up and down the meta-coaching skills. I see where you got the steps of the process of finding his own style. I heard you. I was doing benchmarking too.
Okay.
But I just see that there's a lot of skill set in there, being able to follow it up and down, and then being able to track the conversation and to feed that back to him, like, will that allow you to do this? Will that allow you to do that? I don't know, just lots and lots of stuff. I heard you get the test. I do wonder, though, what would you do with the other the other 40 minutes, or if your typical coaching session for a coaching program is 90 minutes to 2 hours, what would you do the rest of that time?
Well, right now we've had how to find my style.
Yeah.
We also have to focus on how to dare sell my pictures.
There's still that. Okay.
So we just did one.
So you'd be going back and doing that. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay.
So this is just one step. So first, this is your goal. I'm just going to mute you for a moment, Christian, because there's a bat. We start out with this big goal. I want to be able to create my own style, my own pictures, and sell them. And so that's where he wants to be. And we can get a bit more details for that. But then I asked him okay, so where you're at right now, you're at a turning point, but you want to be able to make money. So what do you need to do to get there? And so he mentioned, I need to find my own style. I need to dare sell my pictures, and I need to sell myself as an artist. So those sound like three steps. And he mentioned those are just the first few steps that I know of. So then I'm going to work with that. And what I'll do is I'll take one of the steps and then just break that down. Okay. So where do you want to start? Okay. Like how to find my own style. Okay. I go a little bit deeper into that. That has a present state, finding my style, and in a context, and a desired state. So right now he's in a struggle. Tell me about that struggle. Well, I'm copying others, and how do you do that? How do you copy others? So we got the strategy process there, and then okay, so. Then I'm listening for patterns and things like that. And then I take it to the other side. So what you want is this. And then what do you need to do to have that? And so then I break that up into smaller steps. And as you notice, I really didn't. I could have asked him about something about imagining a story. I didn't ask about that because right now, that is something that will come up in the next meeting when we're going to work on being able to imagine a story. Tell me about that. And then because otherwise it'll take like half a day to figure everything out. So here we're just at a somewhat higher level, breaking it down into small enough steps so that we know, okay, now we know we already can have four coaching sessions, one on internal referencing, one on imagining. We can have one on being kind to myself. So we're going to build that up. And some of them might be happening in the same conversation. So internal referencing and being kind to self, we can grab that as one session. And then we're going to work on imagining. And then we're going to work on maybe the validating. So so those, like, let's say that this is already three sessions, then and this is an important one, then we've got a few sessions left on how to dare sell my products. Then I want to know, my next step would be, okay, where are you now with daring to sell your products? And that already implies that there's a fear, right? Because you don't have to dare something if there's no fear, or if there's not something, no, if there's no energy there. So tell me about daring. And then I basically go through the same process. Does that make sense? I unmuted you again, Holly.
Yes, that makes sense. Gosh, I just had one other question, but it went the way of the wind. So when it comes back, I'll write it down.
Okay.
Do you do this all in an introductory offer? Do you charge for this?
Oh yeah, this is part of someone who's already paid.
Okay. Thank you.
The introduction is really only the oh, so this is generally where you want to be. This is where you're at right now. We might figure out a few steps, but this is really important work. And we spend about 2 hours on this, and then I'll write it down for my client, send it off, and get them to write it in their own words, and get them to write out the KPIs more specifically, because right now we don't have the KPI that specific yet. So I would want to have like a KPI when I sit down for painting, you know, like what will actually let Christian know that he has his own style. He'll be looking at the painting, so there's an external validation or visual validation in his criteria. So we need to figure that out, what that criteria is. And then he's going to check internally in his own sensations, like, does it fit with my story? And maybe he says something to himself, yes, that's, you know, yes, this is, this conveys it correctly, what I feel. But he needs to write that out in his own language. So we work on that. Helga, did you enjoy this?
Yes. Sometimes it is echo from Femke, but mostly it is not echo.
Yeah, it's when Holly has her. There's something on Holly's line.
Okay, and now it's okay. Yeah, this was full of learning. What I think is the relationship between this two. Map out a meta coaching program in difference from the introductory session.
Mm-hmm.
So I have done some introductory sessions where to get a customer into my program, then I try to do something of what you have done. So when I find 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 issues the customer want to work on, then I in a way in the introductory session, when I find 3, 4, 5, then I say it seems you want to work on this and this and this.
Absolutely.
And the customer says yes, So in a way, I wonder, what is the difference between what you are doing in an introductory session related to what you did now?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a question.
Well, I think, like, because that's, you can still stay very generic at that point. Does that make sense, Helga? So what we just did is really go into the details and how do you say that? Yeah, and break it down into smaller steps. So you've got, like, what I'll do in an introductory session is, okay, so it sounds like this is where you're at, this is where you want to be, and these are generally some of the things that we need to be working on. And we don't go into any details of, you know, So I would, for example, so you want to find your style, you want to dare sell your pictures, and you want to sell yourself as an artist. So those three things are right now getting in your way. And then I will stick to the motivation axes of towards and away from. So how is the fact that you don't have a style, how is that now stopping you? And the fact that you don't dare sell your products, how is that stopping you? And so that I actually help them gather information, and then I can get them to make a decision.
Yeah, that is in the introductory session.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
What about in the introductory session, I ask about that, when you say you will give something, you will make the customer experience what it is to be coached by you.
Right. So as I already, go ahead.
Yeah, I wonder, in which degree did you do that now? Maybe on internal reference that you started to coach and show how external reference could be changed into internal reference, and it was, wow, is this possible? It was, or become aware of something. So
yeah.
Maybe that was...
That's that mostly awareness. Because,
yeah.
And this is not the introductory session. This is the first session of the program.
I know.
And even in that first session, we're not making any change yet. We're creating awareness, but we're not actually making the actual change. We're just identifying what is it that we need to be working on. But in that, we're already identifying patterns, we're identifying beliefs that get in the way. So we're identifying meta programs that we need to be stretching. So all of that we're basically focused on.
Yeah.
And that's all, that's like all of that is coaching, even if you don't, if you're not actually making the change yet. It's getting clarity.
Yeah.
So, hey, Pascal just joined us. Pascal, we started at 11 today.
Yeah, I know. I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I was going to work with you, but now I worked with Christian, and I think it was a really, it was really powerful session. So I have, I made extra sure that I recorded it. So it's going to be really something that you want to listen to. It'll be very valuable.
I just wrote that down to listen to it.
Okay, very good. And then if you have any questions, you can just email me privately or post them on the Facebook group and share your insights or any questions that you may have. Okay, so anyone have any other questions about the about what we did?
I wonder this. First, we have to find an outcome, well-formed outcome, and in this session, it was something about to find out your own style. Yeah. So when we have found the well-formed outcome, the preliminary, so then we map out different issues to work on.
Uh-huh.
And the issues are items for coaching sessions afterwards.
Right. Yeah. So what we have here is and that can be, you know, that can be still be how do you say that, quantified better. But what he started out with is, I want to develop myself as an artist, have my own style, and sell my paintings or my drawings. So he ultimately, it's the big outcome is developing myself as an artist and making small business.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are you at right now with that? Where do you want to be? And then we break it down into, okay, there were three main steps that we need to be working on. How to find my style, how to dare sell my products, and selling myself as an artist. What we then did today is just focus on, okay, how to find my style. Let's then take that as an outcome.
Yeah.
And take that down the funnel and work with that. And inside of how to find my style, we identified several smaller outcomes that that we need to work on in separate coaching sessions.
Yeah.
And so now, like, now that I have this, and if I had done that with the other two as well, now that I have this, we basically know that in the next session, maybe the you know, and that's something that Christian needs to decide, are we going to focus first on internal referencing and being kind to self? Are we going to focus first on imagining, being able to imagine a story, so stretching from more kinesthetic to visual, and then and also stretching from remembering to creating? So that's another coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
So then we know, okay, these are the coaching sessions that we have for this, just for finding my style. And then there might be two coaching sessions on how to dare sell my products. And as we go through this, we might discover that part of how to dare sell my products might also have to do with external referencing.
Of course.
And so that topic might come up again.
Yeah.
And so then we bring that into, okay, so is that also part of external referencing? And then we've got several tests for, hey, we've stretched external referencing.
After you've given an introductory session.
Uh-huh.
Then do you talk about what the cost would be for a program, or?
Yes. Yeah.
And then do you when, how do you decide, do you, as you're giving the introductory session, do you that's how you plan the program, or do you?
No, not yet. The planning of the program comes after that. Yeah, because it's you do already a lot of work, and you give a lot of insights.
Mm-hmm.
To your client. And so, because this process, normally it takes 2 hours on the phone and then a few back and forths on email so that someone can actually have their KPIs.
So the, when you said this process, you meant the process?
The process of breaking down the big outcome to to smaller outcomes and to like individual coaching sessions.
Okay, so when you say 2 hours,
KPIs.
When you say 2 hours on the phone, is that two sessions you mean?
No, it's like literally 2 hours straight on the phone.
Okay, so you have an introductory session.
Uh huh.
And then you present, you suggest a program for your client.
Yeah, so we do an introductory session, and then I say, like, generally, it's about, you know, I can, so I listen for, is this big enough? Is this outcome big enough to work with? And then I'll say, like, so normally we have 8 sessions. This is the way that it works. First, we do a 2-hour goal setting session where we really determine what specifically needs to be worked on, and then we will do the coaching. And then I'll state my price. And because I've already played to, so this is important to them, and they've already had a few insights, they're well informed to be able to make a decision on, hey, I want this. And it's worth the money.
Okay, and so the two-hour session and the 7 more would be coaching sessions. You said 8 sessions altogether.
Yeah, sometimes it's one more. What I find actually a lot of the time is that by session 7, they're pretty much good to go, and then we have one wrap-up session, but it depends on how, you know, on how the coaching sessions go. Go ahead.
Does it ever go beyond the 7 sessions or 8 sessions?
I've had that. It's not the standard, but for me, I don't charge per session. I charge for someone to get the outcome. So
right.
If
yeah, I
understand. They don't feel that they have the outcome yet, and I think, okay, we really have to work on this, then we add a session.
Okay, I see. So it's plus or minus 8.
Yes, yeah.
And then you allow them to email you along during the whole course of the program.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so a lot of the time they will give me updates. I like hearing the updates as well. Just so that I get an idea of what's going on. And then sometimes in the meantime, I'll give them extra things to do, like keeping a journal so that they can already start preparing for the next session.
Any tasks like Milton Erickson?
not so much like Milton Erickson. I'm not so good at those things. Because you have to make suggestions as well then.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that's actually something that I could still develop in. I'm more direct, I think. Mm-hmm. But we do tasking, yeah. It's mostly my client. I let my client decide how are they going to test it in real life. You know, when is the first time that you're going to test this? And then they'll report back to me afterwards. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes, you know, it didn't work so well. And then we can analyze that. So,
okay.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Not a question, just a testify. As you mentioned, we are in a coaching program, and what you explained worked perfectly.
In
the way, now I'm realizing the way I was into the wave, and how you did and how it's working, and it's much more clear now what you explained when I have experienced it.
Okay, very good.
I think it was important to mention it.
Very nice. High five, Christian.
I have one more question.
Yes.
How long are the rest of the sessions typically?
Typically, about an hour to between an hour and an hour and a half, but mostly closer to an hour.
Are they mostly by phone?
Yeah. In my case, yes.
But not Skype. But usually, you just listen.
Oh, I actually prefer to listen. That's just a preference that I have, because it allows me to pick up patterns better. And I'm sure, like, on the other hand, I'm missing some gestures and things like that. But it, by just being on the phone, it's really allowed me to focus more on the languaging of it, but also little nuances in tonality and voice and things like that. So,
Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, well, I have recorded the session. I will be putting that up online right now, actually, as soon as we're done. So that should be up in the next half hour. Meantime, I'm also going to be sending the links for the coaching sessions to be benchmarked. I'll send out two or three so that you can benchmark those. What I'll actually do is I'll put a link on the Facebook group where you have access to it, and then in that thread you can share your benchmarks, and then I'll share my benchmarks of those calls as well. So that's what we're going to be doing over the next month. Like I mentioned earlier, all of you were on the call earlier. I'm also going to keep you updated on any changes in the MetaCoach training as well.
In what form should we upload or put our benchmarks? Words or?
Yeah, you can either copy paste it or copy pasting is probably easiest because it's not possible, I think, to upload a file least not in a thread. So that and that keeps it in one conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks everyone. And Pascal, if you listen to the recording and have any questions, just shoot me an email, okay?
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Okay. Have a great afternoon and evening, and we will speak again soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.